today on Codepen Radio.
Heyo, everybody! It's time for another Codepen Radio. This is a very specific episode where we're going to be talking about Codepen, kind of the application itself and the UI of it and some considerations we make while building it. Specifically, we thought we'd talk about animation in the UI. So obviously, I don't know, or maybe it's not obvious to you, but people make demos of animation stuff all the time on CodePen. In fact, it's a very common thing, and it's a very common thing for the pics on CodePen to be animation-based just because they can be so interesting and so compelling. But we're not actually talking about that, although it is tangentially related. We're going to talk about how we use it like within the user interface of CodePen itself, not, you know, aside from what people build with CodePen, but just where is animation used, you know, as you navigate and use and experience CodePen. So there are three of us together today to talk about that who have written and designed and coded some of these animations. It's me, Chris Quare, and I have Rachel Smith.
Hello.
Yeah. And Tim Holman. Yeah. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. This is a topic that is talked about more and more. People are doing animations, and there's lots of ways to do animations, and now that there is on the web, and now that we have so many choices, I think the conversation on animation is shifting a little bit towards, like, what are responsible ways to do animation, and how does this animation affect how people feel about it, and things like that. Have you heard some of that stuff, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's... we're moving sort of... We're maturing a little bit. We're moving past from, hey, I can do all this stuff, to like, hey, should I do all this stuff? Like, how does it impact the experience?
I hate maturing. Right.
Yeah, more, I don't know, more possibilities. But like an example of that would be like, you can, like let's say you're trying to reveal a drop-down menu. I mean, it could, like, slide down and bounce like crazy, or it could come swirling in.
Fireworks.
There could be fireworks, totally. And, like, sometimes I feel like that is so awesome. You know, I think we're all kind of in agreement that, like, a bunch of, like, way over-the-top stuff can be fun in animation. In fact, you two specifically, you know, like Rachel, you just made your profile like the most intense July 4th America ridden profile ever.
I think I cried tears of joy when I saw it.
Yeah.
Tears of freedom based joy.
It was really something to behold.
I'm all for over the top animation in the appropriate context, you know? Like, I just love it when people go all out and, you know, just take it to the next level. But there's times when that's not appropriate. And I think it's particularly relevant to us building CodePen, is like the CodePen UI is not an appropriate place for us to go.
Probably. And for all the obvious reasons, right? Like, let's say there was fireworks every time you opened the drop-down menu, the user drop-down, we call it. Like, it would be fun once. It might be fun five times, and they'd be like, I'm not going to use that app anymore. It's too many fireworks. It would, like, really would be obnoxious.
Yeah, you're either leaning far left or far right on that one. It's interesting to see, like, how... I mean, the entire community has kind of swung this way. I think once we got animations, you know, that was kind of what everyone's talking about. Oh, you can add character to your application. We did go a little bit too far, and then we dialed it down.
Character is a good way to put it, though. It's like a, you know, give your app a little personality.
Yeah, sorry. It's sort of this, the character adding, but then I think some what people are moving towards and what people are sort of talking about, which is great, is that You don't put animation in your app or whatever just for the sake of it, like because it looks cool. There's reasons that you use it, one of them primarily being to communicate what is happening. So you see a whole lot of animation in iOS apps on the phone, for instance, because what you've got there is you've got to shove several contexts into one little screen, and you're constantly switching contexts. So you use animation to like communicate what's happening and where you've gone and where you've come from, and that's when it becomes sort of really it becomes a really useful thing rather than just like, oh, something we added on to make it look nice.
Yeah, maybe the small screen encourages it.
It definitely encourages it. That's why you see so many examples of
good animation. There's a lot of C words. Communication, context, character.
I feel like the mobile market brought a lot to animation because it's immediately tactile. It's like the tiny difference between using your cursor on a screen and interacting and using your finger to interact is like a world apart. And you notice it so much more heavily on mobile when you've got a clunky experience when you're touching it than when you're clicking.
And sometimes it's less necessary. Like, for example, the cursor, like I'm just like looking around our whole app for animations. That's one of the animations that we're so used to on desktop is like wherever your cursor is, it literally blinks, which is a rudimentary animation. And in fact, in the code mirror, what we use has been replicated there. But it's useful only on a large screen because it's hard for your, like it, without the blinking, I'm not sure you could like, your eye would zoom right to the place where that's happening. Whereas like, it's not, I don't think it blinks on mobile, right? Or it doesn't generally in the operating systems I use because it just doesn't need to. But if you're switching contexts on a phone, it kind of like something sliding away and something sliding in really explains what's happening. Like, oh, I see. I'm looking at something entirely different now. Oh, and so there's opportunities where you don't want to go over the top, right? Like every single button on the entire site might be a place where like a very extreme animation isn't a good idea, probably, or at least we've chosen not to do it that way. And like a user dropdown, again, that happens too often. You just wouldn't want to go over the top there. You want that to feel snappy and smooth and good. But then there's places that happen so rarely that you might as well go crazy, you know? Like we don't actually do this right now, but here's an example. When you sign up for Pro on CodePen and you click the button after you've like put in your credit card and all that stuff, when you click it now, the button disables itself so you don't click it again. Or whatever, even though that's not a big deal. The button changes to say, hold on to your butts, you know? So if you've ever upgraded to Pro, if you haven't upgraded to Pro, this is a perfect reason to do that so you can experience that thing. But that could easily be fireworks, or that button could go spinning away or something, because it only ever happens once, you know, or very rarely. So like, and it's such a positive moment that we want to like make you feel good about. That's a perfect opportunity to go crazy.
We're also in this kind of unique situation that almost no one else is in that you have the animation. If we're going to animate our UI, there's the whole annoying factor, right, which anyone faces. It's like you don't want to make this too over the top because if it's repetitive, it's going to start irritating people. But our app actually contains at any one time several iframes with code that other people have written that is rather resource-heavy animations, and they're all trying to use the browser resources. And if we were to try and use animation that takes up browser resources, and when I say resources, I mean basically the CPU and memory, the computing power to run this stuff, animations use that up. So if we're trying to build UI on top of a page with 8 iframes with WebGL running inside them, it's just going to choke out. Like, also, it's going to detract from the pens themselves. Like, it's competing with resources with the pens, which we don't want to do. We want to provide a place for people to showcase their work. It's not a place for us to show how fancy we can be with our UI. That's the way I've sort of always looked at it.
I think there was an example one time where I've always liked the modal animation where it's like transform scaled like 1.5x or something and opacity 0. And then when it appears, it appears like from above, you know, it transform scales back to 1 and the opacity down, which should be pretty cheap, you know, but like, but it's still
It is a cheat.
If you're looking at let's say we do that for a modal in the editor, there's a chance that you're looking at a pen that's so intense that even that pretty cheap one it's not cheap enough, you know? So there's a chance that you open your assets panel and it goes, and it's like, you know, and you're just like, ah, crap, you know, like we can't have that, you know, we can't have this app that's supposed to be really responsive. So sometimes we just have to make the choice. It's like, screw it, just display block. there it is, you know.
One place I really like that we use animation in is the editor, and it's our little editor panels when you like minimize them, they like slide to shut instead of just collapsing. And I like that's one of those places where like it probably might jank up in certain pens, but I think it's just a really good example of when that is you're improving the experience, because that is a context shift. Like if you've changed from just going looking at all three panels just to see the JavaScript panel, that's sort of like telling your brain, okay, this is what's happening. As opposed to if we were just going to shut it, you'd be like, what? Like, where am I? You know? So I think that's like a really good example of where we've chosen to use animation, because it really sort of helps the user. Not just because it looks nice.
That's a good point. There's actually a lot of subtle UI stuff going on there that I think we're all pretty happy with. And we've had other people say that they're happy with. Specifically, like, I don't know, it warms my heart a little bit, because I wrote the first, like, four versions of how that all worked in the editor. And I think even Tim Holman, you wrote one of the original like CSS modifications to be like, I want the editors on the side, so here's some custom CSS to go over there. Yeah, but this latest version was was quite a while. There was David DeSandro did this stuff, who's got just a good knack for the feel of this kind of stuff, and he did a lot of stuff right. But I remember, at one time, you know, I was dealing with a lot of like position absolute stuff up in the editors. I was like, each one of these editors is just going to be position absolute, and you're going to be able to drag these handles, and it used jQuery UI. Draggable, and as it drags, I'm going to measure the mouse position, and I'm just going to reset all the position absolute things to do it. And I think I was to get some animation going. Okay, you know, like if I was going to collapse one of them, I could figure out the starting position of it and then animate it down to zero while the other one is animating bigger, and it worked okay. And then at some point, I was like, there's too much to calculate. There's just so much going on here that it started to. I used to be scared of the file, because I would touch it every, you know, 4 months, and I'd be like, I don't even remember. There was so much math in there. It had to measure so many things, and it just was a spaghetti mess of code that I was like, I should lay out all these boxes horizontally with Flexbox, and then, like, as you size one of them, the other ones will just kind of come along for the ride, because that's just how Flexbox works, you know? And I could, like, reduce the code a whole bunch. This is not how it works anymore, I don't think. Or maybe it's related, but it's all kinds of DeSandro magicked up now.
Yeah, it's changed a bit now.
Yeah, and Tim's written some new stuff for a new project that I can't tell you about yet, but you should keep listening to the podcast, because we're going to spoil it in a couple of episodes, I think. The animation got harder and harder because I was having trouble animating the Flexbox thing. And at some point, I was just had to remove it. So it just didn't, like, for example, what Rachel was talking about, how when an editor expands or minimizes, it, like, does it fluidly. It does it with some animation. And it very much helps you understand what's happening and, like, how to get it back, too, because you can kind of see you see the bar where it went. So, hey, I didn't mean to do that. You can just go grab it from where it went. It kind of teaches you what's happening as it's happening. I had to remove that, and it was sucked. You know, it really, I was like, wow, I simplified a lot of the code and actually made it a little bit more performant because it's not animating now. But the negative repercussion was so much, you know, it was harder to understand what was going on, and it sucked. So we're in a much happier place with that. So where are some other places that we use animation in here? I think we've all probably written some of them. I think there's a Tim Holman, you wrote one that was like the pencil wiggle. That's you.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, the pencil wiggle.
I forgot about that. Yeah. We pencil wiggle. I feel like my approach towards doing things is like if I, you know, that was... I think I added the pencil wiggle when I was adding like inline project name editing, which is like a pretty boring job. And I did that and I was like, I deserve to reward myself. Animations are always the reward. And I probably spend more time on the pencil wiggle than I spent on the other thing. We also have a good, like, you know, in previous jobs, I kind of feel like animation in an application is something that people, gradually build up, whereas I guess it was probably, Chris, your kind of insight that we have pretty kind of consistent like easings and pretty consistent animations on the site as a whole. There's nothing like, you know, do we have just a single file that keeps this stuff? It's a little bit spread out.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think the reason it feels consistent is because there's so little of it that it just, I don't know. And the ones that you interact with over and over are just like one class that gets reused so much. I look at the code, this is kind of a mess, you know, like we definitely don't have like SAS variables for easings or anything like that, as far as I know. And we certainly didn't have like a library. So when you did pencil wiggle, you just had to write keyframes for that. You just invented your own thing. It's not like there was a library that we're like, make sure to use our brand consistent wobble.
Pencilwiggle.js.
We were looking at, like, Tim, weren't you looking at like changing the heart animation?
At one point,
it's like the thing about something like that, it's like too high pressure. You're worried if like you change it and people hate it, it's gonna be a big deal because it's like it's an interaction that
we were gonna change it for Valentine's Day, and then like you guys touched it, Tim touched it, Jake took a crack at it, and we just gave up.
We had to.
I just searched for Keith frames in our whole repository, and we have some really weirdly named things. We've got Spin Me Right Round Baby, which I think is the gear. It's the cogs spinning around in the embed.
Right.
But then there's one here that I don't know where it's from called In Your Face. I don't know where we're using it.
What does In Your Face do? Oh, I know what it is. It's the, what is In Your Face? Okay, I know what these are. In fact, this is what, like, a lot of people, I think people have used CodePen as examples of some animations in talks and stuff before, which I'm not sure is a perfect example, but this is a classic, CodePen animation is the unsaved animations. And this was a big deal for us and actually had some business impact, I think, is that, yeah, if you go to codepen.io/pen, it doesn't save it. You could sit there and work for an hour and it does not save your work, which is dangerous, right? The browser crashes or whatever. And so we eventually got autosave going, but we don't autosave until you've saved it one time. And there's some like very specific reasons behind all that. I can't even dredge them out of my brain right now, but rest assured, there's some reason why we don't autosave for you the first time. So we really, really want you to save it the first time is the point. So we're a little obnoxious about it. By the time you type as soon as you type anything that's unsaved at all, you'll see a little like yellow bar above the save icon, which is like pretty chill. It's kind of like, you know, if you're working in Sublime or whatever and you have an unsaved file, it's like it's a little dot or something. That's like a chill way to tell you, hey, this particular file isn't saved. And as soon as that goes away, it goes away. Well, that's chill and all, but you get really used to that. So we count the number of changes that you make to the file, like start typing, stop typing, that counts as one change. If you get like 10 of them, it starts to get a little more aggressive with you in wanting to save it. And one of the things, I forget what they all do. I'm trying to trigger one right now because it's...
I'm just doing it now. It's like the button shakes. It's like it shakes from side to side. Like,
so that's Wobble, which we named Wobble. And that's largely stolen from Dan Eden's Animate CSS, you know. And we just kind of customized it a little bit. So it wobbles kind of like a teeter-totter or something. Like the point at which it wobbles from is a little unusual. Like it's shaking its head at you kind of. It's a little weird. But that's, you know, and when that happens, man, your eye goes,
oh, I'm just sitting here. I'm just triggering this button. I'm like just trying to like make it go off.
I think what you hit was in your face.
It just rose up really big. Like, hit me now. Like,
how did you go?
That's great. And I think then it repeats them or something. But in your face, it scales it up big or whatever. And we called it what we meant. We were like, really want you to hit that button. And the fact is, before we had these, people lost a lot more work than now that we do have these. Mm. So I don't know. If you hate them, it's almost kind of like too bad because people are saving a lot more. And autosave has saved a lot of Heinies. So cool.
Don't we at some point as well? I'm pretty sure it's happened to me that we put down an alert at some point, and we're like, "Yo, you've changed this like 15 times since your last save or something." Is even a little alert.
Oh, that's right. So that's yet another thing.
Yeah.
So it goes yellow bar, then it goes wobble, then it goes in your face, then it goes inline message. Wow. There's a lot of, we really want you to save it that one time.
You need all those because I've noticed it myself. I won't see the wobbles in the in your face because I'm like just coding away. And then usually the first time I message is when we put that actual, the first time I notice is when we put the actual message at the top, and then that catches my attention. So it's definitely required.
It's interesting because when I'm coding, I'm like one of those people that like hits save a million times per file nonstop. And whenever I finish like a single line, I'm going to press save. And that's how all of mine have been saved. It's weird.
It is, you know, it shows you that sometimes we don't think about stuff. You know, we don't have like a great library for this stuff. And if we need a wobble, you just write a wobble, you know? So it's not like our code base is this like holy perfect place. But we do consider it. I mean, and I think the heart example was a good idea that we're not just like, we want to revisit that, make it a little more fun. We're all very conscious of that type of things. And if nobody nails it, then we don't do it. There is animation related to the hearts though, and it's just super, super subtle. I think it gets a little bit bigger than normal and then goes back, but it's almost barely noticeable. That was that was taken from a cartoon. The Grinch's heart grew three sizes. You know? It's a little more emphatic in the cartoon, but it goes whoop whoop, whoop whoop, whoop whoop, you know. It's classic.
I love doing animations. Like when I'm trying to describe an animation, I always make the sounds like that, like you just did. Like, oh, I need it to go doop.
I like my jank sound is always like.
That's extremely janky.
That's the noise I make when I'm like.
It's better than stuttering because it's like jank. That was really like a. It was hard to listen to you even make that sound. Oh, don't like it.
And like a fade would be like, doo, you know?
Yeah.
You feel the subtlety?
I did.
That?
And in fact, I couldn't even replicate it. You know, like, I was like, it's kind of like a techie, like a, I don't know, futuristic fade, but I can't, what would a soft fade feel like? Like fading out a bunny's ear. Like a subtle breath.
Oh, that's good. How would you describe the in your face animation? It's more of like a
I would go like, whoa.
All right. This is getting out of hand.
We have a couple of
we've devolved.
We have some boring animations too that are just like that you're kind of required, like a spinner. Here's the most boring animation on all of CodePen is when a pen is loading and you haven't seen the iframe preview yet, we put this text that says loading dot, dot, dot. But rather than like do it with JavaScript where I like add a dot onto the DOM or anything, I just like put a whole bunch of dots on a span and then hit the overflow on the span and just animate its width.
I've been in that before. You must have had a lot of dots in there, dude, because it can go.
There's a lot of dots. There's a lot of dots. It would not be very screen reader friendly.
I feel like the loading dot 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 is like, I don't know, that's like when I worked at Active Theory and like we needed a placeholder, we were going to put a cool loader there. Like the placeholder loader would always be just like loading dot dot dot. That's just like what you put.
Right. And you know, it just didn't feel appropriate to use a GIF, you know, like everybody's used through the history of time because it's just, I don't know, who uses GIF loaders anymore? That's jank.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing communicates this is loading better than the word loading, you know, as opposed to just like something, a spinner. It's just like, what is happening? Like, why is it spinning? Is it loading? Is it broken? Like, I don't know. Loading just tells you exactly what's happening.
There's a place where there's a really weird spinner on CodePen that's only used in one place, which is Tails View. when you're switching tabs from like forks to levers.
Oh yeah, that crazy thing with the dots, the three dots rolling over.
One day I was just like, I like this pen. I'm gonna make that our loader, you know. And then I did, you know. So it's kind of like that could probably go.
I made a loader one time that is just like used in one place, and it's loading in the sign up / login iframe that you get on anonymous saving, where we say, hey, are you sure you don't want to save to your account? That one. It's, I made this loader that, like, it's a CodePen logo, like, bouncing. And I just stuck it in there. That's like the only place on the site that it's in.
Oh, we're all offenders of these one-off sneaky.
Yeah, we're just like, you know what? I'm going to make a loader, or I'm going to put this loader in.
You're definitely on the reward system like I am. Reward yourself with a loader.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was like, oh, this is such, you know, it's like drag building this thing. And I'm like,
it gets squishy too. You had to use four keyframes to get this done, which are named CodePen box up, CodePen box down, CodePen box spin, and CodePen box squash. And they're all present.
Yep.
All right.
Then there's cubic
complicated animation.
I need to see.
We're on the animation economy here.
Figure it.
I have an actual pen. I have it in a pen, I think. Like, I don't know.
So, yeah, but now that we have enough of these, I think if things ever got way out of control here, that it wouldn't be particularly hard to rein these in, you know? This is a one-hour job to go in here and be like, place, replace, done, you know? And, like, why not have a little fun with it, you know? CSS isn't fun enough, right, Tim?
No, you need to get weird. I feel like every animation that I do, I always make a crazy version of it first and then share it and then see how everybody reacts. It's always like grow and spin, like spin 1,000 degrees in, you know, like an old school TV intro or something. That's the way to do it.
I like it. We've covered a lot of ground here. So, you know, we could probably leave it at that. It's like, so we think about it, but not too hard. And we have fun with it, but not all the time and whatever. I think that's reality for animations, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's not like I've yet to meet an app in which that like took it so seriously that they had, you know, there's like an animation professional. I'm sure there maybe at really big apps, but.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough of a priority or a core focus for most web apps at the moment. I think further down the track, you'll see people like say, all right, animation is like a core like focus of the experience here, and we need professionals to sort it out. But I think in most cases, people are just throwing it in now.
Or it's like built into it, or it's at some kind of framework level, you know, like kind of like jQuery mobile used to be. Like you just get all these kind of fundamental UI animations kind of with it. But we're not much of a mobile app here at CodePen. The mobile experience is certainly I don't know what to call it. It's there. There is one, but it's not native and it's not creation heavy. I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, feel free to tell us what you think in the comments for this episode about how we're doing with animations, how you think about animations in your app, whether you think about performance, how do you think about reining them in, what kind of technologies you use for it. I should say that like this whole time we've been talking about CSS animations. I don't think we use any JavaScript animations like at all. Like we don't use any of the jQuery helpers. We don't load any additional library. Like the most we do with JavaScript is probably add and remove classes, I would think.
Yeah, I think there is one little piece in our code base, which maybe Desandro brought in at some point, where you can trigger a transition with Java. It's still a CSS transition, but you can trigger it with JavaScript. I've definitely used that once before. I think it was like in the tour or something I'd used it. Nice. But yeah, there's just one spot where we can do that if we want to trigger a transition with JavaScript rather than doing it like via class-based type deal.
Yeah, I've been having a blast with the new secret project that we're doing, being able to use the React animation like enter and leave tags. it's just like makes it such a pleasure to go, oh, if this button's going to appear, put it here, and I can just do the CSS completely separately, and the state manages, you know, the thing popping in and popping out. It's so good. It feels so good every single time without having to do the add class, remove class, you know, any yeah. JavaScript specially triggering it. It's a pleasure.
I want to see that. I haven't gotten to use that yet. We also didn't really talk about transitions because I feel like that those just automatically get smashed in with animations, and you're usually kind of basically talking about the same thing when you're talking about them. But it's like, I don't know, like a button where when you hover over it, it subtly changes color and then subtly changes back. It's like in the bucket of animations, but is I don't know, they're just kind of more subtle usually. I mean, I guess they don't have to be, but they usually are. But just assume that everything we said applies to transitions mm-hmm. as well.
That's it. Even the sounds. Especially the sounds,
whoop.
Actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, like woo.
Shiki, 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 shiki.
That's a warm hover, a warm hovering sound.
What's a cold one? Like.
It's like. Yeah, it's like.
I just got shivers. All right, this episode was brought to you by CodePen Pro. You should sign up for it.
Can we fade this? Can we fade us out yeah. at the end?
Yeah.
Like
Chris ends, sound guy. Fade us out. I'm just gonna do the alphabet and fade us out. A B C D E F.
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P. I was harmonizing.
CodePen Pro is really worth it. You should just definitely sign up for it.
Okay. I'm pressing stop.